Have you ever heard about coffee neuroscience? Well, hit the play and follow us.
Right from Sebrae Espírito Santo Studio at International Coffee Week, you're listening to Café.
Hello everyone, this is Kelly Stein, again, right straight from Minas Gerais state. We are here recording some news, some episodes in English, straight from the International Coffee Week, which is happening in Belo Horizonte. I would like to say thank you for Sebrae Espírito Santo, who the institution who always helps coffee scenario, coffee industry, and small producers here in Brazil. They open a little space in their stand, their booth. So we are recording live from during the fair, during the show. So we are more than welcome. For those who will listen to this podcast later on, right now we are inside an aquarium and lots of people, Brazilian producers, international community, baristas, masters, roaster masters, they are right now looking at us, so it's quite different and we are a little bit nervous. To talk about coffee neuroscience, I'd like to invite Fabiana Carvalho. She is a Brazilian researcher. During our program, our episodes, we already record with her in Portuguese, and now this is the time to share her knowledge in English with you guys. Fabiana, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for inviting me over again.
I am really proud to be here, first of all, because you're very talented, you're very professional, and you are a woman in coffee, making change, taking the world upside down. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So to start, I think, and people will understand, I would like you introduce your background in coffee and in neuroscience.
Okay. I think I'm going to get started talking about my background in neuroscience. And well, I've been doing research for more than 20 years now. I am a biologist, and I've got a master's in neurochemistry, a PhD in psychobiology, and I've been studying memory and perception, for the last 20 years. And 2 years ago, I started working with multisensory perception. I ended up studying multisensory flavor perception. So this multisensory kind of research applied to flavor, and then I got more specific and I applied it to coffee. So now my study subject is multisensory flavor perception in specialty coffee.
It's really geeky, right? Very nerdy. If you people who are used to Big Bang Theory, I'm sorry, those guys are buffoons. This girl is really into the brain. So your master's degree was
in neurochemistry. I studied neurochemical processes involved in spatial memory formation. I used animal models, so we used to study in rats. So we did behavioral tests with them, and afterwards we had to kill them, and then we opened up their heads and took out their brains, and we macerate the brains and we measure up the neurotransmitters involved in memory formation. Yeah, so that's what I did in my master's.
So from this to coffee, how was this switch? Why to change?
Yeah, well, then I started working with visual perception during my PhD. I did my PhD at the University of São Paulo and a part of it at the University of Glasgow in Scotland. And I started working with functional magnetic resonance imaging. It's called fMRI. It's a big scan where you put people inside of it, and then you ask people to perform some tasks, memory, language, visual, and then you can measure which areas become active as the person performs those tasks.
So you show pictures
pictures, or you ask people to say things, or you ask people to remember to think about things. So you can map their brains depending on the task you are asking them to do while they are being scanned.
And why coffee?
Well, the thing is, I think I'm getting back to my childhood, because I am a daughter and a granddaughter of coffee producers, and coffee always made sense to me. And I'm very much in love with coffee. I started work with multisensory perception, and one of the processes that we have in our brains that very much multisensory is the perception of flavor, because we don't have a sense organ to perceive flavor. Flavor is the combination of the gustatory sense, the olfactory sense, and the tactile sense. So those ones perceived in the mouth while the food or the drink is in the mouth. And the visual, the vision and the audition also is a big part of it. We call them the anticipatory senses. So when you see something or you're hearing that's like a potato chip, if it's, you know, depending on the noise it does, it suggests what you're going to feel.
It's crunchy or not.
Yeah. And the vision is the same. You know, if you see a ice cream that's pink, you're expecting it to be sweet, right?
Let's just a little bit get back. Mm-hmm. And can you explain for the audience, what is neuroscience, first of all? I think it's important, the concept.
Mm-hmm. Neuroscience, well, widely speaking, it is the study of the nervous system. You can study in several levels. So some people study processes that occur in the neurons. So ion channels. Some people study how like a calcium channel opens and closes in the membrane of the neuron. This is neuroscience. But you can go up to a level where you study behavior.
Wow, I see.
So this is my field. Research. I try to understand the neural basis of behavior. So how, which brain areas are involved in perception, in memory.
So you want to understand how the brain understands some flavors and aromas according to not only the beverage or the powder and the grain, but also according to the external factors, right?
Yes, yeah. My research in multisensory flavor perception is how external factors modulate the perception of flavor in coffee. So not the coffee in itself, but everything that surrounds it, you know, the cup in which the coffee is served, the environment where the person is in while consuming this coffee. So all those things affect flavor perception. It is already known regarding beer, wine, and lots of other foods. But we don't know much how those external factors play a role in coffee.
It's really funny because especially the very experienced professionals, coffee professionals, they feel that it affects, but your job here is to prove scientifically that it does.
Yes, it does, yeah. And I'm also into doing research, not only in one culture, but I would like to see what works, if what works in one culture will work for other cultures. So we are, yeah, I am already collecting data in other countries, in addition to Brazil, and I am already running a online survey on people expectations regarding cups. You know, I don't know if like a pink cup will trigger the expectation of sweetness in a Brazilian person. Will it happen also in a Russian person, in a Japanese person, in an Colombian? Italian, Colombian? I don't know. So we would like to run this worldwide study to see what is constant and what is not, what depends on culture and what doesn't depend on.
This is your goal now, but I'd like to just give a timeline and please explain what were the first steps in your research. So you, how long you are researching already?
More than 20 years.
About coffee?
No, coffee I started last year.
Okay.
So I've been studying perception.
So your research was born with coffee. Coffee is 1.5 years.
Yes.
Good.
So we get started together with
yes.
this.
So you say you have this academic behavior and pattern to think and organize knowledge, and you didn't know much about coffee, right?
Yes.
So how? What were the first steps for your research?
I started working with this multisensory perception. And I started reading a lot about that. And I started feeling the need, the urge to bring all the knowledge I've been accessed to specialty coffee. Because there were nothing. No one was doing research on how external factors affect flavor perception in coffee. External factors, as I explained, the cups, the environment, the packaging too.
Music.
Lightning. Yeah. So I contacted Professor Charles Spence at the University of Oxford in the UK.
He's doing lots of work with gastronomic chefs,
yes,
with sommeliers, right?
Yes, he's the head of the Cross Model Lab at the School of Psychology in Oxford, and he's been doing this cross model research for many, many years. So he is the person who could really advise me on what should be researched.
I see.
Yeah.
And then he gave you the guidelines to start. So you start studying a little bit of coffee, doing some cuppings to understand the SCA protocol.
Yes.
And then when you figure it out, what were the first experiments?
The first one was exactly a year ago at the International Coffee Week here, and I studied...
Wait. So your first experience, you started here in the same event that we are doing now and recording this episode.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Very emotional.
Yeah.
Yes. So I started testing how... Actually, if the cup shape would affect flavor perception in specialty coffee. So I contacted Tim Wendelboe in Oslo, and he really embraced it. He said, oh, I think it's very, very good that you are willing to do that. So he sent his three cup shapes to Brazil for me to test it here. So I tested them. And I got the results. They are published already in a scientific article. Everybody have access to it because it's academic knowledge. So guys, please download the article.
Free.
And yes.
So if you are listening to this episode in your Spotify account or on your smartphone, go to the website and I will leave the link so you can download. It's much easier.
Yes. And we demonstrated that the cup shape influences the perception of aroma, basic tastes, mainly sweetness and acidity, and also the hedonic evaluation of specialty coffee in coffee experts and amateur consumers alike.
Ooh, and so shape can modulate even the very professional
exactly.
coffee.
Exactly,
oh my goodness.
Yes.
Huh.
That's very, very nice. Just like wine, right?
I see. And beers as well, right?
And beer as well, yes.
And then the next step in your research was about color.
Yes. The next test, just after cup shape, we did cup color. So we tested, first I tested in two coffee shops in São Paulo, one in São Paulo and one in Minas Gerais. We tested the effect of a pink cup versus a white cup in espresso coffee. And we found that the very light pink cup increases the perception of sweetness of the coffee and also decreases a little bit the perception of acidity.
Huh.
And people liked more the espresso served in the pink cup. Actually, it was the same coffee, but people enjoyed it more when tasted from the pink cup. And then I followed it because in coffee shops there are lots of noises and smells and all of these things. So I replicated this study in a controlled environment and I added the two colors that were green and yellow and another coffee profile. So there was a Brazilian coffee that's very sweet and with a heavier body, round, and a Kenyan coffee that was really light body and very acidic. So I served both in these four colored cups, white, pink, yellow, and green. And we found a big effect.
The difference?
Yes.
What are the difference? For example, the green?
The green, people were expecting acidic coffee in a green cup, because in addition to testing how they perceive the basic tastes, I also asked them how acidic or how sweet do you expect this coffee to be before tasting it. So they just look at the cup with the coffee inside and they tell me how sweet or how acidic they expect it to be, and they drink it and they rate their actual perception. So there is the pre-tasting evaluation and the post-tasting evaluation. So people were expecting high acidity, low sweetness in the green cup, and high sweetness and low acidity in the pink cup.
Huh.
Yes.
And the white?
The white, they were expecting a traditional Brazilian coffee, because that's their reference of coffee, you know. So
Yes. But your studies are really, really important, because this can change the way that the coffee shop owner will rethink their service.
Exactly, because drinking coffee, it's much more than the coffee itself, you know. The consumer is looking for the experience of drinking coffee, just like wine. When you go to a wine bar, you're not only going to
get drunk.
Yes, you know, it's not only because of the wine itself, it's all the service that's
involved.
And
the rituals, yes.
Exactly. And coffee is a even more complex beverage than wine, you know, in terms of volatile compounds. And, you know, coffee deserves it. So we need to pay attention to the service. Because I can see that the coffee people, they are really working hard to get amazing green beans and the amazing roasting profiles and all of these things, and the amateur consumers, they don't know about it, you know. So now they need to learn how to sell this coffee, how to add value to the coffee cup, you know, to make people pay for it, because in the end of the day it's the amateur consumer who makes the wheel goes round, you know. So these are the people who are paying money for coffee. So the whole chain will gain from it.
It's really funny what you're saying, because in the beginning, 1 year ago, nobody was paying attention to what Fabiana was doing. So she was just the nerdy woman trying to understand coffee. And I know that Revista Espresso, which is one of the organizers of this beautiful event, right?
Yes.
They were the first one to listen to Fabiana and said, okay, I will provide for free a space so you can apply your experiments, right?
Yes.
Right after, they published an article in Portuguese.
Yes.
And then we recorded here in Coffia in Portuguese as well.
Yes.
And then people start talking about the importance of your study, right?
Yes.
And it's funny because São Paulo, no, but Brazil, it's so big. And she had to order or ask help for Tim Wendable. So, Tim, th- thank you very much if you're listening to this. Thank you for giving her the chance to develop this knowledge, which is really important, because I can see, because right now, guys, in this event, we are running for World Championship. So Latte Art, Brewers Cup, Cup in Tasters, and Coffee in Good Spirits. And I can see, I'm seeing the Brewers Cup, I can see the service of the baristas changed. I can see very different colors.
Yes.
And
I'm
shapes.
Very, very happy.
Oh my goodness, I'm really
to
proud
to see
actually.
That. You know, they are applying. The baristas get really, really excited when they are watching my lectures and my talks. I can see that, you know, these really bright eyes looking at me and said, oh my God, I can really provide an amazing service paired up with the flavor profile that I have in my coffee. So they know that they can really enhance the experience of that particular coffee if they get it right, you know.
If they get it right.
Yeah, because it's, they can also ruin a very good coffee if they get it wrong, yeah.
And I actually asked some of them, are you applying neuroscience concepts to think about your presentation? And they said yes. So
oh, that's
congratulations.
Good.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very glad to hear that.
So now, 1 year after, we are in the same spot.
Yes.
Belo Horizonte, Minas Gerais.
Yes.
And I'd like to know, what are your actual movements now and what do you think for the future?
Okay. First of all, I'd like to say that I've got two partners here in Brazil now. Felipe Croce from Isso é Café and Faf. He's providing coffee.
For all your experiments?
For all of them, yeah. And we discuss about profiles, we cup coffee together, we select them and all of these things. So he's really open and he's really happy to help always. And he's putting me in touch with lots of people in the world. So he's introducing me, my work, and it's been amazing. And another partner that I've got is Diego Gonzalez from Sofá Café. He's providing the space where I run the tests because he's got a second floor in his coffee shop that's just like a sensory room. It's just perfect.
Wow, okay. And I am aware that you just came back from Europe, right, from a tour. Can you describe this experience?
Yes. So I've been invited to three big roasting events. The first one was the Nordic Roaster Forum in Oslo. I gave a talk there to present my study results and all of this. And I also ran an experiment with the audience there. So I could demonstrate the effect of cup shape with them. And it was really, really cool. The second one was the Roaster Camp of SCA in Évora, Portugal. I gave a talk and I ran a workshop. So I could demonstrate the effect of color, music, and texture.
Ooh, music.
In flavor perception.
This is new, we didn't talk about it yet.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's a very strong effect. I'm piloting yet, you know, just to probe the effect.
Yes.
And soon I'm going to actually design an experiment to test formally the effect of sound in taste. And I've got a partner for that. It's Josef from April Coffee.
Yes.
He used to be a sound engineer beforehand, and he was at the Nordic Roaster Forum. And he approached me saying, oh, I like it. Can we do something together? Can we really explore the effect of music, sound, in taste, in basic tastes? And I said, well, yes, of course. But I know nothing about sound, and said, oh, well, this part I can... I can provide. So we are planning to do that, but still really in the early days.
Okay.
And the third event I've been to was in Russia. Yeah. In a Natal called Izhevsky. And I can talk, I don't know, for hours about it because I've never been to Russia before. So everything was very new to me. But the event was really, really great. You know, really professional event. It's run by Valentina from Hummingbird Colibri Coffee.
Yes.
She's a roaster there and she's also a green bean importer.
She's really into Brazilian coffee science because she invited Professor Lucas Coraza.
Lucas Lozada from Espírito Santo there. Yes. And he's the guy talking about fermentation and he is amazing. Yeah. So over there, I gave a talk to roasters and baristas. And then I could run the experiments in them. So I collected data regarding cup color,
shape,
sound. No.
No shape.
Only cup color, and then the effect of sound and the effect of texture as well.
I'm thinking right now about world championships. So, and guys, if you listen some noise, it's because right now we are running the finals of latte art. So everybody's really excited and sometimes the noise comes. And you can see that baristas, they always ask some music to be part of the presentation.
Yes. Yeah, well, they can...
They can manipulate.
Yes, yes, of course they can. They need to know which type of music they are choosing because they can really enhance some types of perceptions, you know, depending on which music they're playing. So it's important to do more research about that. There are researches about this regarding wine and beer, so they can maybe get those articles and read about that. But let's see how it works in coffee, because it's important to get this knowledge from wine and beer, apply to coffee to see what works and what doesn't work. Because not necessarily everything is going to work in the same way, you know?
For the next steps, what are your expectations?
Okay, next steps will be, this year I'm still running a study on packaging. So we are going to manipulate labels, color and shape, to see expectations on flavors about the coffee that's inside the package. And then people will try a coffee and let us know how they perceive that coffee, if it changes regarding the packaging. Next year will be, I'm going to finalize the texture study. I've been collecting data here at the event regarding cup texture.
Ah, the cup texture, yeah.
The texture of the ceramic.
Okay.
So it, I collected data, so the same coffee was served in a smooth cup and in a rough cup. And let's see if it's going to affect. I measured aroma, sweetness, acidity, and mouthfeel, and aftertaste.
So we already look at shape, colors, music, you're in the early days to think about. And now,
texture.
What you're working right now is texture.
Texture and packaging.
Ah, and packaging, okay. And do you think one day you want to cross this, all these knowledges?
Yes, but I need to collect separately the knowledge just to see what affects and what doesn't affect, right? So I need to split them.
Good, good. To finalize, to summarize, do you have anything to add right now?
Because
my next question, my next question would be, what would be your advice for people who are interested about coffee neuroscience? And I start applying and make tests, even if, for example, I'm a coffee shop owner, and I want to make some tests, but I don't want to affect strongly the behavior or the routine of my coffee shop. What are your advices to try? Little things that I can change and see if it works or not.
The correct way would be to do a informed test about that, because it's very important to have any statistical analysis, you know. So we collect data from lots of people, like 90, 100, sometimes 200 people, and then we analyze this data to see if there was an effect or not. So the tests that I did in the coffee shops at Ancora Coffee House in Minas Gerais and Taco in São Paulo, actually both changed their cups after the test. So they've got pink cups now, the light pink cups, because it was very clear to them that their coffee was enjoyed much, much, much more when served in a pink cup. So they've got really nice, beautiful pink cups in their coffee shops.
What I can see here in Brazil, and it's getting popular, is pink cups and yellow cups.
Ah, the yellow cup worked
acidity.
Well. Actually, in Brazil, the yellow color, when we get articles from how other cultures perceive yellow, it is related to acidity. But here in Brazil, it worked well for both coffees, the Brazilian highly sweet and the Kenyan highly acidic, because we also associate yellow to sweetness. We have lots of sweet yellow fruits.
True.
So yes. I think we accept yellow to be sweet too.
Huh.
It's not odd to us. You know, it's not this that our expectation is being broken when I get something yellow and it's sweet. No, that's fine. Mango is yellow and it's sweet, so I can handle it, you know,
Yeah. If you could summarize in bullet points some conclusions of your studies so far, what would be pink for Brazilian
the color?
Public? Yeah, color and shape and everything.
Okay, wow. The aroma is enhanced by the bulbous shape cup
okay.
that looks like a wine glass, you know, the top part of the wine glass. The acidity and sweetness here in Brazil, we had a result, and when I tested these cups in Oslo, I had other result. So I think it depends on culture.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I don't know. I need to get more data in order to really say that, you know, make this affirmation. Regarding color, I only collect the data in Brazil. I only analyze the data I collect here in Brazil. I tested in Russia too, but I don't have the results yet. Yes. But here in Brazil, the green cup works well with the acidic coffee, the pink cup with the sweet coffee, and the yellow works well for both coffees.
Cool.
Yeah.
Textures, you're still ongoing.
Texture is still ongoing, yeah. I don't have the results as yet. Packaging, I don't have the
it's
results.
Ongoing as well.
Yes. Oh, I think we're going to have to record another podcast next year.
Yes, please.
With all the results. The new
and
results.
Nicholas summarized, right? If you're listening to this episode, you're more than welcome to send Fabiana a message. You will share her email. You have an Instagram account, right?
Yes, for the research study, yeah.
What is it?
It's called The Coffee Sensorium. And I publish all the tests that I've been doing, the results. I also recruit people. You know, when there is a study that's going to be carried out in São Paulo, I make the announcement there so people get to know where it's going to be, when it's going to be.
Are you open to travel around so someone who is listening to this episode and they want to learn more or start a study in their country, in their region, in their coffee shop, are you open to that?
Of course. You know, this is what I want to do. I want to really collect data in several countries somehow to see if there is a cultural effect and if there is which cultural effect, you know, what works in a culture and what works for another culture. It also depends on the profile of the coffee they're used to consume there. So those things change.
And I really respect your work because you are here for 1 year, 1 year and something, and you're changing a lot the coffee industry, making us to look in another way how we are drinking coffee. Thank you very much. You are not only studying, because Brazil has more than 130 years dedicated to coffee science, but all the scientists, most of them are looking at the varietal.
Yeah, the coffee itself.
Exactly. And I really like your work because you're looking to people.
Yeah, to be amateur more consumer.
Oh, even better, because those guys are paying our bills, right?
Exactly. So if we add value to coffee by playing it right regarding the service, we can really increase the amount of money that's going to be applied in coffee, you know, so the whole chain will gain from it.
And it's really nice because everything she's producing, all this knowledge, guys, it's free, it's available. She wants to share and add value and make a real contribution to the coffee industry, not in Brazil, but in the world. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And if you want to contact her, please do, because it's really important. We support the coffee science, and especially you're looking not only to coffee people, but to into their brains.
Yes.
Coffee, 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 co